Ahoy! Welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
Aye, matey. I'm Amanda. And we have a very special weary traveler on our ship with us today. His name is Trevor Evers.
Arrgh, what do you mean, weary traveler? I be the captain of this ship.
What?
You have the most SpongeBob pirate voice.
Arrgh.
You are not the captain. That's crazy.
SpongeBob, me boy. Aye, that's the captain there.
So what am I? You're the whore?
Whoa, none of us.
Hey, don't act like it's not happening on these ships. If a woman is brought on these ships, what's happening there?
Whoa.
She's not a captain.
Hey.
No, I mean, I wish.
You're right. There are a couple very famous female pirates, though, to be fair.
That's true. And that's me.
And that's you.
Okay.
Was once a whore, now a famous pirate.
Is that okay?
I've decided. I make my own resume.
That's your lore.
Look at this. I have a sword. You have a hat. You have an eye patch.
Yeah, for our audio listeners, we're pirates.
Yeah.
Fully decked out.
Fully dressed
out. If you guys didn't get that, we are pirates.
It is the week of Trevor's birthday.
Yay!
And
because of that, and we've had this plan for like a year now, I feel like, talking about this.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk pirates.
Yeah, well, I think one of the episodes I came on and we just kind of accidentally started nerding out about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, I really like pirates.
We were like, whoa.
And then thankfully, you know, Selena was like, well, do you want to come on and like have a dedicated episode to nerd out? So now I get to talk about pirates for, we have like 4 hours, I think, slated for this.
Yeah.
So, we have the whole day. Happy birthday, Trevor.
We're doing this one a bit like a Joe Rogan experience where we just go for 6 hours.
Yeah. And that's the only way it's going to be like a Joe Rogan experience.
that is the only way.
Just how long it is.
That is like that. Yeah. All our ad reads are for supplements.
Yeah. gas station rhino pill.
Love
Thank
it.
You for oh the sponsorship.
Yeah, when did you first start loving pirates? When you were a kid or an adult?
I think when I was a kid, I really love pirates. I love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Sorry, hold on.
Bless ye.
I am the blessed.
May you be blessed.
Thank ye.
Because
you grew up in Idaho.
Yeah.
So you were nowhere near the ocean.
Yeah, nowhere near the ocean.
You're like, fuck.
No, I mean, like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, like I think I was very like
so
target,
good.
like growing up, I love those movies.
Up at Treasure Island, of course.
Treasure Island, one of my favorite books. Probably my favorite book of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. And I know for a lot of people, they read it and it's like, that's kind of a tough read. Like, it is a... The book is very... I mean, it's old.
Why is it a tough read? I can't remember it.
It's old. 18. They're just slower.
And it's also like the old, like, Robert Louis Stevens, very committed to like using like pirate, like...
language.
Tongue and making it very like authentic, and so like a lot of the dialogue is just like, wow, it's hard to understand. One time actually I was reading that book and I was like reading it to Raven before we would go to sleep at night. I was like reading it in bed.
And the old.
She's like, I literally was
really
getting to the
You're reading it by candlelight?
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe I should have picked a different book because I'm getting to the pirate dialogue and it's like, you know, 11 at night and like we're like about to sleep and I'm like, are you salty bastard?
She's
and I'm
just like, please stop.
Please pick a different book.
God. I've read plenty of books from that era, but it can be tough.
Yeah.
Like I remember trying to read Moby Dick and stuff, and I'm just like, man.
Moby Dick was a tough
boy.
You read it in school.
Moby Dick is like, yeah, okay. As far as like books go, Moby Dick is 1,000 times tougher of a read than like Treasure Island. It is like a children's book.
Yeah, I read 1,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh yeah,
like Jules Verne.
Yeah. And it's like it's cool. It's cool to be like, whoa, this was insane for the time that it was written.
Yeah.
But it's still just like what they find exciting is a different plot.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to have the same twists and turns and character arcs that we're used to.
It's actually crazy. Like Treasure Island, okay, I'm going to take off the eye patch.
That's crazy. Your eye works?
Like, yeah, I know. Actually, if you turn the lights off, I could probably see really good out of this eye. Because that's what, you know how people do that? Where, like, if you're about to go into a dark place or you
Isn't
cover
that,
one eye.
Is that, I've heard that lore about pirates. That they wore an eye patch, even though they weren't missing an eye, so that when they went under deck, they could take that off and they were adjusted to the darkness.
I actually haven't heard that, but that would make a lot of sense.
You just make that
apart
up?
From...
I didn't make it up, but I think I read something online where someone else had made it up. And wrote it out in a post.
This is a Reddit stories? Yeah.
But it makes sense to me.
Yeah. No,
or did they wear it to be like, I'm a badass, don't mess with me, I'm so cutthroat.
Well, they did do a lot of intimidation.
Yeah.
Selena thinks maybe it's when you look through the spyglass.
Yeah. Why would they have the eye patch to look through?
You know, it's hard to like do this. So instead of doing this, they would just quickly go right to it.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right.
It's a multifunctional tool.
So pirates, can we give a little bit of a preface of like piracy and the age of piracy?
Yeah,
yes,
so
very good.
I'm happy to give an overview. It's so tough because I think that I really could just talk for so long. So feel free to ask questions or steer me in any direction.
We'll steer you.
Basically, the golden age of piracy was from about like 1650 to 1730.
Very short, 80 years.
Very short, very short.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was really like it overlapped greatly with the period of like expansion into the New World. So that's like kind of because the first era of the Golden Age of Piracy, it's like split into three eras. And the first era was from 1650 into like the early 1700s, and it's called the Buccaneering Era.
Ooh.
And so Spain was very, they were early arrivers to the New World. They were in on it early. The market was bullish on the New World and colonization. And the other European nations were like, we want to get in on that, but a navy is very expensive. And also the Golden Age of Piracy overlapped with what was called the Age of Sail. And so the Age of Sail is basically when like masted ships became the primary method of travel and commerce and also like warfare. Mm-hmm. So all of these nations were like working on their navies very heavily.
Still in the Buccaneer era.
Yeah, the Buccaneering era. So there were what were called privateers. And basically, I mean, the journey across the Atlantic Ocean was really long and it was very hard to like coordinate a navy and very expensive. And so these nations, what they took to doing instead was giving pirates what was called a letter of marque. And essentially, it would be like the king of England would be like, hey, here's a letter of marque. We're going to allow you to do piracy. We won't hunt your ships. You can dock in our ports as long as you only attack ships from other nations. So don't attack any English ships. Go have your way with Spanish, like whoever. And a lot of the nation, like a lot of European nations were at war with Spain at this time.
But would the king want some of the,
the
know,
booty?
The booty that they take from these ships?
Yeah. So they would take a percentage of whatever they plunder.
Hitmen.
But yeah, I mean, for pirates, it was a pretty sweet deal because it's like they could, you know, legally unload their goods and the king would take a percentage, but they could kind of just get up to their activities.
Do whatever they wanted to do.
And it was a way for other European nations to kind of disrupt Spain's like chokehold on the New World.
Because Spain had a lot of like routes for trade. They basically, they dominated that.
Yeah, they just got there very early. They were getting there very early and kind of getting like first dibs on.
What were they trading?
Well, there were a lot of like things in the New World, like tobacco was a big one. Honestly, a lot of the Spanish, they were just killing, you know, indigenous populations. And a lot of like what they were getting from like South America was gold. Like they were just like Spanish treasure galleons.
The governments were effectively pirates. Like everybody was pirates.
Yeah.
Like everybody's stealing, but you're stealing from people who are stealing.
Right.
Yeah.
So pirates were actually cool because they're like, we wear our name proudly. We're pirates.
There is a moral argument for the fact, because like obviously pirates, you know, are painted as like, oh, they're the bad guys. They're attacking people. But like the English and the Spanish and the French, they were coming over and they were just killing people and they were bringing disease. Like Nassau actually, which was a very big pirate hub on New Providence Island, which is now the Bahamas.
Yeah.
When Spain first arrived there, they just either enslaved or killed the entire indigenous population of like New Providence Island. They brought disease and then the people that didn't die of disease, they sold as slaves and used to, you know, farm plantations and sugarcane and things. Mm. So like all of the colonizers were really terrible people. And not to say that pirates didn't also get up to their fair share of terrible things.
Yeah.
I love pirates, but I also feel like every time I talk about it, I preface, like, there were a lot of pirates that did very bad things.
Naughties.
Totally.
I mean, like, Sir Francis Drake is one of the most famous, like, explorers and privateers of all time. He was operating heavily, like, during the Buccaneering era. And he was just a slaver. Like, he just bought and sold slaves as well. And so, like, a lot of these people that are renowned, I mean, he was the second guy to circumnavigate the world. And, like, he's this very renowned explorer, but he's just
an awful person. But also, bad dude. They call themselves privateers, not pirates.
Correct. Privateers or buccaneers. And that was really only if you had, like, a letter of marque, then you were a privateer.
Got it.
And so, yeah, during this period, like, of all these nations being at war with Spain, privateers were just kind of going at it. They were plundering ships and creating little, like, colonies and, you know, bringing, like, England would send over governors. Like, they took over New Providence Island. But they were kind of just having their way over in the Spanish Main.
Did the Spanish have privateers and buccaneers of their own?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like almost like a mini war happening.
Exactly. It was like, it was a lot easier for them to just send people out to be like fight each other. And because
of course, they do their dirty work.
Yeah. They were just trying to disrupt Spain and take their stuff and the gold that they were plundering and all that. And so that was the buccaneering era.
That's the 1500s.
That's like 1650, oh, 1650. Right into to late or early 1700s.
Would Spanish privateers be called privateers?
Yeah. I mean, they probably had another name for it, but that's kind of like overall.
L privateers.
Yeah, L private.
L privateers.
So nobody ever referred to themselves as a pirate?
No, I think not at that time.
Okay, okay.
But
so Pirates of the Caribbean, it's like nobody's gonna say you're a pirate.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean is so true. It's a true story. This episode of Smosh Mouth is sponsored by Shopify. You know what I don't like?
What?
Friction.
Ew. Friction.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of problems, tension, or stress, especially when it comes to running our business. That's why Smosh uses Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that allows you to sell, manage, and process your inventory.
At Smosh, we have so many charming pieces of merch, like our Spring Essentials collection and our Parents Week pins. It's been so easy to start selling thanks to Shopify.
Yeah, and Shopify allows our customers easy checkout. If they're a returning customer, it saves their basic info. We need an e-commerce website that makes everyone's lives easier so that we can focus on other elements of business, like researching pirates.
And that allows growth.
Yeah. Start your free trial at shopify.com/smosh. Start your free trial at shopify.com/smosh. That's shopify.com/smosh.
Amanda, you made the sound.
I know. I have the power.
Wow.
Feels really good.
Doesn't it feel so good?
Watch.
Oh.
I went too hard. I got greedy.
It's okay. You'll have your chance again.
Thanks.
Back to the show.
Back to the show.
Well, so a lot of the modern media that you see in the parts of like pirate history that are very romanticized is actually in what's called the post-Spanish succession period. So the War of Spanish Succession ended, and then there was kind of like a peacetime. So in peacetime, all these privateers now just defaulted back to being pirates. Like once the letters of marque, like we're no longer at war. So the English are like, well, don't attack Spanish ships. And now they're just pirates again.
So they don't have a letter of marque. They're kind of free reign of the seas.
Yeah, yeah. And so the post-Spanish succession is when you see a lot of, like, the very famous pirates. That's when they were operating. So, like, your Blackbeards, you know, your Calico Jack, your Anne Bonny and your Mary Read. All these very famous pirates.
Anne Bonny and Mary Read are the famous female pirates.
Yeah. And that was from, it was a very short period of time. That was like 1710.
Okay.
And don't they didn't, like, do it for that,
that
long. They weren't around
5 days. Then they threw them overboard.
It was a very short period, but it was a very, that's when like a men lot of the crazy exploits were happening.
In this era where there was no letters of marque.
Yeah. And then in between the privateering area and the post-Spanish succession was called the Pirate Round period. So that was like also pretty short.
Rounding up all the pirates?
Yeah, exactly. They were rounding each other up. No, it was named that because one of the major trade routes actually from England over into the Mughal Empire. So what is now like modern day India, the British East India Company. They pirates would sail from England down around the coast of Africa up to Madagascar and into the Indian Ocean. And that was a very popular place for pirates to operate. So plundering like British trade ships that were bringing spices over from India and like Mughal treasure ships. So that was a very profitable. A lot of the most profitable pirates were operating in the pirate round. And it was
in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, because you would just sail down around the Cape of Good Hope
and ships were they robbing? They were robbing East India Company.
Yeah, a lot of British ships were there, and I mean there were Spanish ships as well, like just trading with India. But then yeah, the Mughal Empire was kind of the it was like an Islamic empire that was very powerful and very wealthy, and it was basically what is now like a lot of modern day India and Bangladesh was kind of the big
when
area.
You say treasure ships, are you talking ships full of gold?
Yeah, I'm talking ships full of just like jewels, gold, all that stuff.
Why were they, what were they doing? Were they bringing it over somewhere?
Yeah, just trading.
It's that era's equivalent of like an armored bank truck. Like it's like we got to move this cash or this
these
goods somehow, and the fastest way is by ship.
Exactly.
Because you can't like on land, that's you're probably more vulnerable on land.
Yeah, on land, there's, I mean, there's still like highwaymen and things, and the journey's like a lot longer. You could get places so much faster by ship. And the Mughal Empire was very like they're responsible for building like the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of art. Like they had just a ton of wealth. And so that was the pirate round period. And a very famous pirate rounder was Henry Every, who was known as the King of the Pirates. And he's very famous for plundering the Emperor of Mughal, his personal treasure ship. He stole it and estimated, I think at the time, like 600,000 British pounds, which the calculation is something
back in the
like,
day is massive.
Yeah. I mean, the calculation, it's like over like $200 million. Like, I think it's somewhere between like $150
million. That's
and he didn't have to,
crazy.
He didn't have to give any of it to anybody else other than his crew.
Yeah, correct. He made off with it.
I think something that makes like historical eras fascinating to read about is compared to modern day, where like the scope of like the amount of power that governments have now with like technology is so immense that back then, though, it's like if you and a few like enough guys had a ship, it's like you can take on the anything kind of. Like I know your chances are gonna die, but like
probably not. I feel like
the thought of like something of that equivalent happening nowadays just seems so impossible. Because there's no private group of people that can take on like a nation's most powerful device or ship, you know. It's, like not possible.
You take someone's ship and it could take weeks for whoever owns the ship to find out about
it. And like, then they're already gone. And also, I don't think the people on their ship are fully equipped to handle a group of privateers, because what are they coming on the ship with? Do they have weapons, like a bunch of weapons, or?
Yeah, so a lot of pirate warfare is basically you have like, you know, your broadside cannons, and when ships would fight, usually they would come up alongside each other and they would fire the broadsides. And then the whole point was like you kind of wanted to make the ship weak enough to then get on and board it. So once you were close enough, you would throw out the hooks, pull the ship in, and then, you know, throw across the gangplanks. And
then you would take everything on that ship back to your ship.
Well, you would fight, you know, guns and swords, take over the ship. And sometimes pirates would just take what they could carry. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would take the ship with them if they could tow.
I was going to say, because a certain amount of weight at a certain point.
Oh. Yeah.
Because gold is heavy.
It's really heavy.
So all the people on the ship either got tossed off, killed, or held.
Yeah.
Prisoner.
Yeah. So that was another thing is like when they would take, a lot of pirates would offer like survivors. Some people would just kill everyone, but.
Offer survivors.
Yeah. Like once it was very common for like once you knew the pirates like took control of your ship or whatever, a lot of people just surrender outright. So like if it was like a merchant ship, they'd be like, we don't want to fight. Like take whatever you want and just like please let us live.
Yeah.
Some pirates would honor that. Some pirates would take the ship. Sometimes it would be like, well, whoever wants to join our crew can, and we're going to kill the rest.
Henry Evers, was he a kind one?
It's tough to say exactly how like kind one pirate or another was. But honestly, I don't know. I don't know if there's like much specifics.
Would you be a kind pirate, Trevor?
I like to think I would. I like to think I
be a
would.
Kind
be nasty.
I'd be dead.
You'd be nasty. What?
I would be dead.
Be oh, wait. Nasty, you would be the one dirty. Who was like the top commander guarding the gold, and you would fight to the death to guard the gold? Is that right?
No, I'm saying I'd probably die of some disease week one.
You're like, yeah, I'm
I'd
on the ship.
Fucking die. I would. A cannon would misfire and I'd explode.
I'd just stand on the
ship.
You'd
have a rash.
Like, you have to wonder, what's the like typical survival rate of a pirate? Like, pretty bad.
It's
got to be atrocious.
I think it's low because you can get really, really sick.
It's also insane to think about how many shipwrecks there are in the world. Like, if you went out on a wooden ship back in the day, it's like, you're going to die.
Yeah. No, it was like you were just, it was a coin flip on whether or not you were going to live or die. People would just get, you would get killed boarding. You'd get trapped out in some doldrums, sickness.
But just like the ocean is just a cruel mistress.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, there were literally.
No, but like storms, like you sail the wrong day and it's just your ship is broken apart.
Yeah.
Like you think about how fucked up ships are nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you think about one with no electricity or plumbing.
People are still getting sick on cruises.
Yeah.
They're wiping people out left and right.
Yeah. Storms are dangerous, but then I mean when all you have to propel you is wind and sails, people would like pirates would get trapped out in doldrums and they could just be sitting like literally the ship not moving in still water for weeks and people would just starve.
So they're obviously they need to dock obviously to get water and everything. Is their ship like commonly known as like, oh, that's a pirate ship? You know how Pirates of the Caribbean, look at this ship, see, it's got the skull on it.
Yeah,
like
because they would have pirate flags.
Yeah, so usually when you would you wouldn't be flying, you know, the black flag the entire time you were sailing. Like, generally speaking, you would want to be a little bit more incognito. And then once you were about to attack a ship, like if they were like, okay, there's a prize.
Like, hey.
Yeah.
They're like, peace and love, everybody.
It's just a rainbow flag.
All you put up.
They're like, that's going to mean something someday.
Yeah.
But for now, it's refracted light. And they're like, not even that. That hasn't even been invented yet.
Okay, so. That's hilarious. Okay, so you have the rounders, and then we go to the peacetime.
Yeah, so the post-Spanish succession, peacetime, all the pirates are now, they're just pirates. And for a lot of them, it was very, like, it was more desirable than just joining a navy. Because funny enough, for how bad the conditions were being a sailor, pirates were actually like very democratic. And like the pirate code was a real thing. The very early iterations of it, it's attributed to like multiple different people. Henry Every had a pirate code. But the most like complete pirate code that we have access to is Bartholomew Roberts, who is a very famous pirate captain in the post-Spanish succession period. And there were some really good, like it was a very... Some of the like very like highlighted points in it were the payment system on pirate ships was very like pretty even. So the captain and the quartermaster would get two shares. The like gunner and the bosun would the like master gunner and the bosun would get like
What's the bosun.
The bosun is essentially like sort of like third like right hand man to the quartermaster.
Okay.
Quartermaster. And the bosun, like, kind of he spoke for like a lot of the crew. He was kind of like a representative almost,
of a manager, or like everybody has physical tasks.
Yeah,
but, so he's like a talent manager.
Yeah, and so they would get a share.
They have HR.
Sounds like the bosun is kind of HR, maybe.
Well, like kind of like the quartermaster and the bosun were, because the captain had like complete control in like situations of battle. But outside of that, the quartermaster was really in charge of like holding votes and paying out shares and like bringing issues to the captain. And if the crew didn't like the captain and didn't think that he was doing a good job, they could put it to a vote and the crew would vote on whether or not they wanted a new captain.
And that was completely fine. That's not like the captain wouldn't be like, I'm going to kill you for doing that.
Yeah. I mean, if the captain was a bad person, but if, you know,
Could get demoted to quartermaster and
what?
The quartermaster becomes.
So the captain's just like washing the deck one day?
The captain could get demoted. He could become a regular crew member. A lot of times, if the captain did get voted out, he's probably being really awful and they would like maroon him. Sometimes they would just straight up kill the captain.
Jack Sparrow.
A full mutiny.
Yeah, a full mutiny.
Would it be called a mutiny if they just voted him out, or is that kind of a different thing?
I don't actually know, like, technically what would qualify as
a mutiny.
I think a mutiny
is like you're going against them and you maroon them on an island or something.
A mutiny, I think, more so is like something done in secret and without like not putting it to a vote. It's like a group of people would rise up and just kill the captain without like voting on it.
Without working as a like full team. Yeah.
That would suck to be marooned on an island. I think about that often.
I think it'd probably be better to get shot than get marooned. Because definitely in my head as a kid, I definitely romanticized like just islands and stuff because we'd go to Key West in the summer and like we'd just be out in the ocean. I'm just like, this is amazing.
Beautiful.
And I would be like, I could survive on a stranded island. It's like, no, you're going to die.
You're going to die
a slow death.
What? Yeah. No way.
It's going to be hot. Yeah. You're going to get dehydrated.
You're going to meet people.
So tough.
You're going to meet people.
You're going to unbury
a bunch of
It's a deserted island.
Unbury.
You're going to live there like Blue Lagoon. Yeah. Your hair's going to get so long. You're going to get so tan.
Hell no. This isn't Castaway.
Yeah, but the pirate, I mean, there were a lot of other really like, there was like workers' comp. Like there was-
What?
In Bartholomew Roberts, like pirate
code. You got a pig leg.
Yeah, if you like lost an arm or a limb like during battle or working on the ship, they pay out like 800 like pieces of eight to be like, hey, you lost a leg in battle, like we're gonna pay you out money. And then they would pay like less if like the injury was like more minor or whatever. But
and none of these men have like a home with families. Or some do.
Generally speaking, I think it was
it's
less
forever
likely.
Life.
I think. Seas. Yeah, I think some people did have like you know there might have been some like pirate captains that would like settle down or have families or whatever. But I think it was not very common.
You'd never see them.
Yeah, you're gone like all year round. Like how much time are they even spending on land ever?
I mean, not a lot. Most land wasn't safe for them.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. There were very few. So like I said, like Nassau was a big like pirate hub. Port Royal was a big pirate hub. Madagascar actually was a very
really?
Big
so cool.
pirate hub.
You really only hear about the Caribbean. You don't hear much about like the world. So it was a very worldwide phenomenon for this 80 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Qing Shi was a Chinese pirate and she commanded like the largest pirate fleet in history.
Whoa.
How many
ships do you know?
Oh my gosh.
And is this of the same era? This is a different era.
This is like not, yeah, this is not, I actually, Selena might fact check me here on like what year she operated. I don't believe it was during like the Golden Age, but it was like.
When is the Golden Age?
1650 to 1730.
So the peace age, the Spanish peace age, and then it's the Golden Age?
No. So the post-Spanish succession period was like basically the end right at the end of piracy, because once the nations were no longer at war, then that freed up everyone's attention to be like, oh, the pirates are kind of a problem. They're like, we've been using them like as privateers, we've been like taking advantage of them existing, but now that everyone's at peace and everything and like the new world is kind of settled, it's like, okay, now we should probably deal with these people that are just killing merchants and taking all of our like ships and stuff.
So the Golden Age was before that.
The post-Spanish succession was right at the end. But it's also the most romanticized. It's what you see in media a lot is the Golden Age of piracy. Or is the
Why is it so romanticized?
I think it's just those are the very famous pirates. It's when you have like a lot of the like exploits of like Blackbeard and a lot of like, you know, people being chased. Woods Rogers was sent in to be the governor of Nassau, and he was basically like the scourge of the pirates. So right in this period, once there was like kind of peacetime, England offered like a blanket pardon. They were like, if you like come in, like we'll pardon you for all of your pirate deeds, we'll let you off scot-free as long as you just promise not to be a pirate again. And so a lot of pirates that have just they were like, yeah, I'll take whatever money I have and try and go live like a normal life.
Whoa.
But then there were also a lot of pirates that, you know, they fought to the bitter end.
Yeah.
They could never. And that's like a lot of the more, you know, famous, like Bartholomew Roberts. He was at it right until the end. He, I believe, has historically the most ships ever like captured by a single pirate. I think he captured something like over 400 ships.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah, in his time as a pirate. And what's crazy is a lot of these like post-Spanish succession pirates, they were only operating for like a few years.
It they was just not, were like, going long, hard.
They were going hard. I think Blackbeard literally only like was a pirate like and was actually out sailing for like 2 years.
Could you imagine you have a job for 2 years and you're a legend forever?
Yeah. It's. I mean, basically, we already did it.
I mean,
we're legends forever. The three of us.
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah,
this one
so
episode.
Right.
It makes sense though, because you think about 2 years on a ship, nonstop.
Yeah,
you can only go for so long before you.
Yeah.
Potentially, like, die.
Yeah.
So.
And it was tough too, because then after the pardons, Woods Rogers employed. A lot of former pirates as pirate hunters. So like Captain Benjamin Hornigold was a very famous pirate, and he became like he started working with Woods Rogers and started hunting pirates. And so it was kind of this like very cannibalistic thing at the end where it's like, okay, you can either remain a pirate or you can stop being a pirate, or you can just start go hunting down the people you used to like
bounty
be
hunters
friends with.
Oh,
that's kind of fun.
Historically, there is an argument to be made. A lot of historians that like have studied pirates, they do believe that if the pirates in the post-Spanish succession period and in this like very tumultuous time in the New World had any sort of leadership and any ability to like work together and just not be generally stupid, that there could have been a legitimate pirate empire created in the New World, like in the Caribbean. Like the English really, if all the pirates had worked together, they wouldn't have had the power to like overcome the threat of pirates as quickly as they did.
Well, there are modern pirates right now.
Yeah.
Well, pirates have been an ongoing, haven't existed.
Since commerce has existed, there have been, you know, highwaymen and bandits and pirates. Like, anytime there's been merchant goods to be plundered, there have been people to plunder them.
I remember reading a book on Cleopatra, and in like one of her battles with one of her siblings, I think, she enlisted a bunch of pirates to like fight in her army.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like, oh yeah, ancient.
Epic book.
Ancient, yeah. but ancient pirates are a very real thing. Like pirates and pirates still, it's just a term for people who are committing crimes on the ocean.
That's really
all it is. Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of pirates in the Mediterranean, so like off the coast of North Africa, they were called the Barbary Corsairs, was a very famous group of pirates. But yeah, I mean, we again, like the very big and well-known ones were all kind of operating in the Caribbean. But there were pirates, all over the world.
This episode of Smosh Mouth is sponsored by Rocket Money. Shane, how did pirates do it? How did they keep track of all their doubloons and booty without the help of Rocket Money?
Oh, I don't know. I'd be lost at sea if it wasn't for my Rocket Money dashboard.
You're so right. Rocket Money is the perfect finance app for monitoring everything from my bills to my subscriptions. I don't have to worry about anything. I receive real-time alerts on large transactions, upcoming bills, and refunds. Did you know that users who create a financial goal with Rocket Money save over $70 on average within the first 30 days?
That's a lot of treasure.
I love an automation. There is a feature that allows you to set it and forget it. I create a goal like saving up for a new captain's hat, and Rocket Money helps me attain it.
I use Rocket Money to tag and categorize all my transactions. Like my most frequent transactions are food and dining out. So with Rocket Money, I can track it all with ease. Pirates probably need categories like, I don't know, eye patches and parrot food categories.
Oh, of course. Totally. Yeah. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. That's rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth, rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. Back to the show.
Char!
That scared me.
Sorry, I know pirates are scary.
That was wild.
I know, it just came through me.
Good for you, buddy.
Thanks.
Talk to me about this female pirate that you mentioned earlier.
And
No.
Oh, Ching Chi?
Yeah.
Yeah, how many ships was it? Did you get the number?
Yes. So she operated from 1801 to 1810, so after.
Oh, 1800s.
Yeah.
And she was the leader of, where was it? Approximately 400 junks and between 40,000 to 70,000 pirates.
Yeah.
Wait, 40,000 pirates.
40,000 pirates.
Under one person's command.
Yeah.
What?
Correct.
She must have been awesome.
Yeah, she was. She actually, so she like basically took over the pirate fleet from like her husband. Her husband was like a pirate captain, and then he died, and she took command and just like made like, yeah, one of the greatest pirate fleets of all time.
That's incredible.
And operated, and basically, I mean, for what it was, is probably the closest thing to like a pirate like empire that you could have. I mean, there was like she was basically operating unchallenged in like, you know, the Indian Ocean and South.
How
China
many ships? How do they communicate with each other?
That
big of a fleet.
Yeah, for that big of a fleet, she probably just had a lot of like generals and captains, and like had like, I would imagine, like kind of hubs of command and stuff.
It's kind of incredible that they, you know, sailed across the seas with no real way to communicate other than hoping to meet up.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, people, you could just be like, hey, man, I'm going out to, like, catch a prize. Like, I'll catch you on the flip side. And then your buddy just never comes back.
A year later.
He's just gone forever.
Is that crazy that that's how things kind of worked until, like, relatively recently?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, up until, like, when we were teenagers and it was like, all right, I'm going out. It's like, there's no way to contact me until I find a phone.
I had no way.
Yeah. But like really back then it was like, if you write, great, we'll find out. I was listening to a thing about Alexander the Great, and his dad was murdered at like a wedding, right? Yeah. Philip II.
Sad.
And it was like a crazy like Game of Thrones type of thing where he was like stabbed in the middle of the celebration. And it was like, Persia was really nervous about this guy because like the Greeks and Macedonia and Persia, and it was like, well, they're gonna get word about it like months later.
Yeah.
But it was even crazier because there's a part where like in another city nearby, the like leader of that city had a messenger who was able to get to him in time to tell him like he's been killed.
Yeah.
And then he gives a speech to his town of like, I prophesize that a great death is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then is able to be like, oh, because I have this info before anybody else does, I can make it look like I'm predicting this is about to happen.
Yeah.
And then news officially arrives.
Whoa.
Because it takes months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like the world to find out about like massive things.
Yep.
It's so crazy. Like you think about like if like when JFK was assassinated, if it took like a month for everyone to find out about it.
But it didn't.
Well, no, but I'm saying imagine if like that's how things were. It's like, oh, did you hear the president got shot 2 months ago? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, what? Like,
could you imagine if like you had a family and your partner went off sailing years.
It's like, where's Greg? Well, he went off sailing,
his son
and he's
is
been
10.
And he's doing his whole pirate thing.
Been back.
Doing this pirate thing.
I slept with the neighbor.
You know,
I
he had a letter of marque at one point, but now he doesn't. And he's still doing it.
I told him to get an apprenticeship with the blacksmith, but he just didn't want to do it. He wanted to go be a pirate. I told him
to
get a stable job. Maybe join, if you want to be at sea, join a merchant ship.
He wants to hang out with his friends 24/7. What am I supposed to do?
He wanted to go hang out with Charles Vane, the cool kid on the block.
Charles Vane.
I think pirates just had the best branding in history.
Yeah,
like, the names
so
are cool,
cool.
The look is cool. Yeah. I know a lot of it's been polished up over time.
Yeah.
Like, I know they probably didn't look and sound
hot.
Like what we know
they
them as.
Smelled like
it's
ass.
So colorful and so like vibrant in how it's portrayed. But I'm like, I know it was all dirty and shitty.
Yeah.
It was shit. We're all covered in shit.
It was probably the grossest
Most
shit ever.
Most pirates were dirty and shitty. But there is actually a lot of like, there were pirates that were very like gaudy. I mean, very Jack Rackham is a very famous pirate.
Your
gaudy
name is,
meaning like covered in jewels and things?
Yeah. And
oh,
his,
well, sure.
His nickname, he's called Calico Jack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Calico Jack. Yep, yeah. I've heard
Calico
of that.
Calico Jack.
Because of just all the crazy clothes he wore. Like, he just
what
wore
kind
really
of clothes?
Beautiful, like, colorful
Gucci.
Clothing. Like, big coats. Like,
Gucci slides.
Yeah. Bro got the Gucci slides.
This guy's gonna die. He's wearing Gucci slides on a ship.
Did he have, like, was he, like, draped in, like, linen, like tapestry. Velvet, that would be so hot.
Big capes and cloaks, big plumed hats. Like, that was what, like, lots of jewelry. They say that pirates, like, a lot of pirates wore, like, a lot of expensive, like, gold jewelry and bangles. So if they died at sea and their bodies washed up on shore, they whoever found them would, like, have, like, money to give them, like, a proper burial. They would like,
what a crazy reason to wear expensive
jewelry.
They would like etch their names into like pieces of the jewelry that they wore, so that like if someone washed up, they'd be like, I want to be like, this is where I'm from or where I want to be buried, and they would have money.
I kind of, side note, I really want like really really like two pairs of nice jewelry that I can etch, that I can like pass on.
Yeah,
I've always thought about that, like engraving really nice pieces of jewelry that I can pass on forever and ever.
Yeah, what did you engrave? What are you going to engrave on it? Should do something funny.
Bitch.
Like penis.
Bitch.
Bloody woman.
Found this skeleton. Here, there's a necklace here. It just says bitch on it.
Tall bitch. I know who that is.
The most famous pirate, tall bitch.
It really? Says bury this tall bitch in Portugal?
Bury this tall bitch in Portugal.
Okay,
drink,
I guess.
Have a feast. I don't know. I just always thought about like engraving my name on really nice pieces of jewelry and passing it on and on.
That'd be awesome. Cool. You'd have an heirloom. Be a pirate.
Yeah, an heirloom.
You might be a pirate.
I mean, I'm obsessed with this. So you told me to read the Amina book, Amina El-Sarafi.
Oh, yeah. That book is awesome.
I love that book. It's about a female pirate. And the second book just came out of hers.
Yes.
She wrote
it
years later, Tapestry of Fate. I'm going to read it. But like, that book is all about a female pirate who's retired and has to go back and save her daughter. And I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Can I pirate
it's cool.
It's,
it falls in the fantasy of like.
It's really fun.
Because that's more.
It's pirate fantasy, but
what
also
ocean is that? It's more like Mediterranean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
gorgeous colors and foods and.
I love like pirate and just like ocean as a setting.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's such a fun. Like I know it's nowhere realistic, but Pirates of the Caribbean is just so fun. Like there's something so because the ocean is so mysterious.
Yeah.
So people who are operating there, I think that's what makes it fun, is that like there's skirmishes and battles happening out on the ocean, but they are all so outmatched by the environment
they're in. Yeah.
And that makes it so fun. They're at the whim of that. They're like, we can only go if the wind permits it.
Yeah.
We're only afloat if the ocean allows us to.
Yeah.
Like that's makes it so fun.
Yeah. No, I love pirate media. Amanda and I will, did we talk about this on the show? Maybe brought it up, but Black Sails.
Yep.
The pirate show.
I don't think I finished Black Sails, but I watched a lot of it.
It's so good.
And you love that show.
It might be my favorite show of all time. I think like
it's so intense.
Incorporates like all like so many of like the very famous. So the concept of the show is it's basically like a fictional, a prologue to Treasure Island.
It
follows Captain Flint, because in Treasure Island, like the protagonist or the main character is like Long John Silver and Jim Hawkins, and they're trying to find Captain Flint's treasure. So Black Sails follows Captain Flint and like the story of how he became a very like famous, like infamous pirate, because Captain Flint wasn't like a real pirate. But in the show, they have all.
No, he was married. He had a family, and he didn't really want to do that.
Yeah. He was like a former like naval captain, and there were a lot of like former like Navy men that became.
It makes sense because you need a lot of training,
and
you need a ship. Like it was kind of the perfect storm to create this. It's not like people could just be like, oh, I'm just gonna grab a ship and go. It's like that's such a
And like on like I was talking about earlier, the pirate code, like conditions, like as far as like being on a ship and being paid, like conditions on pirate ships generally were better. Like in like the British Navy, like the captain had like final authority on anything. You could never question him. The pay was set, and it wasn't based on like how much you actually plundered. Because like pirates were given out like equal shares, and so it's like you only had a certain amount. And so like when the war ended, and like a lot of these like Navy guys were like losing their jobs or whatever, it's like go be a pirate.
Yeah,
that show is so good. It's also heartbreaking.
It is a brutal,
it's brutal
show. They, I think it, the reason I love that show so much is because it does have like all these famous pirates, and from what I know, like, and have like read, like they're pretty like accurate to like what their like personalities and how they would be. But it just shows piracy in all of its like really cool, like magnificent, like sailing the seven seas, and then also the really awful, terrible, gruesome parts, and it just kind of paints a very complete picture. But
I'd say it's like the best depiction of what we think.
It's kind of one of the only pirate shows, though. It's not
kinda,
Well, it's probably an expensive thing to make.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There's a scene in the show where they show like keel hauling. Do you know like what keel hauling is?
It sounds familiar. Is that a way of killing someone?
It's like a torture way of torturing or killing someone. But basically what you would do is you would tie someone up by like their hands and feet and then drag them underneath the ship.
Yeah.
And so like pirate. So you must not have watched that far because they show
this. Nope.
It is.
Nope.
Because there's barnacles that go like on the bottom, like on the hull of a ship, and they're sharp and hard. And so they would pull people and drag them underneath the ship, and their bodies would just get like shredded on barnacles, like while being essentially drowned. And they show it because I knew what it was, but seeing it depicted in the show, I was like, that might be like one of the worst things that you could do to a person.
I'm glad I didn't get that far, I guess.
It was insane watching it happen in that show. There's so many moments too of just like where I'm just like hand over mouth, like
I need to watch it at some point. I think I watched a couple episodes. It went for like two seasons, right?
It was like five seasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a long show, but it is like front to back. The writing is incredible.
Check it out.
And that actor is so good. The Captain Flint.
Yeah.
What else has he done? He's a British.
I think so. Yeah. No, he's incredible.
I'm not gonna play this game where I go.
Do you? So, do you have a favorite pirate?
Do I have a favorite pirate? That's such a good question.
Good question.
That's such a good,
question.
Yeah.
Hey, little pirate boy, good question.
I think that...
You didn't like that.
I'm a little pirate boy.
I'm a little
sorry,
pirate
boy. Man.
Arrgh.
Thanks.
Avast.
Welcome.
I really love... So, there's a... There was kind of a group of pirates that like all ran together, the like flying gang, and it was like Blackbeard and Charles Vane and Anne Bonny Mary, Calico Jack. They all kind of ran together. I really love
kind of like a hype house.
Yeah.
But out on the
exactly like
pirate
a hype
boy,
house.
You are
bro.
Crushing this.
Kind of on the ocean.
Exactly like a
what's
hype
up? House. I'm Blackbeard and this
We're
is my
part
TikTok.
Of the flying gang.
No, I really love Anne Bonny and Mary Read. I think they're so like badass. I think in a time when like women truly were like just treated so terribly.
That's what I meant in the beginning.
Because this is 1600 or this 1700s.
Yeah, this 1700s. And yeah, I guess just for like two like women to be known as some of like the fiercest like
how did they? Pirates do you know how they ended up becoming pirates?
Yes. Yeah, so I believe. Anne Bonny, if I remember correctly, she was like born and they thought like they're like early. A lot of pirates at early lives aren't super well known. Basically, she was like born in England and then brought to America kind of like secretly and was raised in secret as like. A girl because they I think like it was something where like her father whoever like they wanted her to be a boy
and so kill her.
And so they brought her to America but then she ended up like running off with like a guy that was a pirate and I believe it's a similar story to Mary Read, like kind of just like grew
she rebelled
up.
Against her father.
I believe Mary Read actually grew up and she pretended to be a boy for like a lot of her early life, and that just kind of led her to being a pirate and continuing that facade.
That's incredible.
They ended up, meeting on a ship and they sort of found out, like, not by accident. I think they kind of just clocked each other. That they were like, oh, like, you're a girl, too.
What's up, girl?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Girl, are you crazy? This is awful what I'm doing. They were probably so cool.
Were they, how vicious of pirates were they?
They were pretty, I mean, they were pretty, pretty vicious. There's a story that I love where Mary Read had, like, this one, I think, like, it was, like, the ship's carpenter. he was kind of like her little boy toy, and he got into it with like another person on the crew. And if pirates had disputes, this is actually like in Bartholomew Roberts' code, but it was like you wouldn't fight on the ship. If you had something to settle, you'd settle it like in a duel on land. So like pistols and swords.
Has to be on land?
Yeah.
So you don't fuck up the ship.
Because you don't, yeah, you don't. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course.
You got to protect the ship.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mary Read, like the carpenter that she liked, he like got into it with this other guy and they were going to duel. And Mary was like, don't worry, little guy, I got you. And she went out on the beach and like dueled this guy for him and like just slaughtered this other pirate for her little like,
damn, whoa. That is a strong ass woman.
Yeah.
She's like, I got you.
Did she kill him with a gun or a sword?
Bare hands.
I don't know. It might have been a gun. It might have shot him with a gun, finished him off with the sword. I feel like when you
nice
got
1-2 combo.
Yeah, well, when your gun only has one shot.
You just cut off his head at the end.
I mean, you got to remember the gun only has one shot.
Yeah, you
so
got to make
you
it
get
count.
Him in like the liver. It's like, well, he's still
damn
kicking.
It. Boop. Boop. Beep.
One of my favorite Anne Bonny stories, actually, and it's Anne Bonny and Mary Read and Calico Jack, they'd taken a prize and they were getting hunted by pirate hunters. So this was kind of at the end of piracy was sort of coming to an end. And they went into kind of this cove, like where they'd like been safe before, and all the crew just started drinking, getting super wasted. And Anne Bonny and Mary were like, if something happens, like these pirate hunters were on our tail. Like we have to be ready. Like
yeah.
You guys shouldn't be drinking. Sure enough, they get found. And basically, Anne Bonny and Mary were like fighting to the bitter end, but everyone on the ship was drunk and they just like surrendered. And so they all got captured and brought back to England like for trial. And Anne Bonny's last words to Calico Jack, because he like surrendered, and her last words to him were, "If you had fought like a man, you needn't be hanged like a dog." She basically was like, this is what you get for being a little fucking
awesome.
I want that tattooed on my chest.
Yeah.
That's sick,
like,
dude.
Literally, like, raw as hell.
Damn. Wait, that was Mary Read or that was
that
Anne
was
Bonny?
Anne Bonny.
So, yeah. Wait, how did Anne Bonny die?
We don't know. So there
she's
are
alive.
A lot of their fates are probably mysterious, huh?
A lot of pirates kind of faded. So she was supposed to be hanged, but then she, and it's not known again, like there is no death record for Anne Bonny or Mary Read because they claim to be.
They're old women still alive.
Yeah.
Thelma and Louise.
And attack. Yeah,
they found
them
in the Grand Canyon. How'd they get there?
No, they claim to be pregnant. And so the English like wouldn't hang a woman if she was pregnant. And so it's not like we don't have death records. We don't know if they actually went through with it or if
you
like
think that they were pregnant.
I don't know.
They're a pirate. They're probably lying.
I don't know. Anne Bonny was like with she like had like romantic relationships with Calico Jack. That's something that was like known. But I mean, pirates were very free people. Anne Bonny also was like, I'm pretty sure, like doing Mary. They were all
doing
each other.
Mary.
Oh, guys, if you're out in the ocean,
Anne Bonny was doing Mary.
Look,
guys,
listen,
all
you're
doing
on a ship.
Each other.
Yeah, you're on a ship. You got like a few options. It's like, all right, we're all going to.
And doing what? When you say doing Mary.
You saw the show.
They
all
fucking.
Doing each other.
Hey, I love it. I think it's incredible.
Guys,
Amanda, they are fucking on the ship.
This is why I want to be a pirate. It's essentially a nudist colony.
Guys, if you watch Black Sails, there's so much boob and penis. It's crazy.
Yes,
it's
that's why I loved it. I need to finish it.
They don't hold back on the fact. And it's like, it's real. Like, they were just like hanging. Like, if the pirates were going on shore, they were spending their money drinking and at brothels, and then they spend all their money. It's like, all right, we got a new prize. We heard tell of a new ship we're going to go hunt.
They're living.
I think it's always funny, like, with history, it's like, the scope of it is like, you're going off with this group of people. And this is the same with like armies back in the day.
Yeah.
It's like you're going off and you're going to be gone for years.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to come home. It's like, you're probably going to have sex with whoever's around.
Of course, yeah.
Like, that's probably what's going on.
There's
like,
no like dude. Promise ring on any of these motherfuckers.
It's like, yeah, it's like, dude, the Spartans went out to fight for years. What do you think they're doing?
Yeah. It's, I mean, they got bigger things to worry about. You
yeah,
know?
Like each other's penises.
Yeah. They're like, let me see you. What size are you?
Like,
let
bro,
see?
Let me get a look at your sword.
Yeah.
What size
hell
I am.
Yeah.
Now put your armor on and take your
pants
off.
You could die at any moment. You're hanging out. Like, come on.
You're
guys,
gonna
we're
have
showing
sex.
Each other our swords in the brig later. Yo, meet me in the brig later.
I love it.
Our swords. Shifting
from sex really quick. I want to talk about rum.
Yeah.
Were they all drinking rum? That was specifically the drink? Or is that talked up? Or was it something different?
Isn't that what was able to last on these ships for a really long time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure rum just generally was. It's what they were brewing, like, with...
The sugar...
Yeah, sugar cane. I don't know too much about, like, the way... I know, like, tequila is obviously, like, agave. I don't actually know the distilling process for rum.
Rum is tea. So rum is essentially a bunch of spices and a bunch of tea that you mix together, and then you can... ferment and put in a barrel that's all rum is.
Interesting.
I have this like Caribbean rum cocktail book.
You and your husband love rum.
Rum is H's favorite thing in the entire world.
Really?
And he's obsessed with the origin of rum, everything about rum, Caribbean rum.
That's awesome. Should we call him in? Should we ask him?
Get him on in here. Let's
see,
get some
he knows
shots
why
of rum.
All the pirates were drinking rum.
I love that probably especially in that era, like 1700s into the 1800s. That probably that might be one of the drunkest periods of human history.
Oh,
people were drunk all the time. I want to say it was 1830 that in the States there was like the peak of like drinking, and they say it was something like people averaged like 5 shots of whiskey a day.
There's nothing else
like,
to do, man.
I mean,
there's
just
nothing else. Plus,
and it was like that last. Yeah. It was like a safety thing too. It's like that's why in Rome, right? They pretty much everything they drank was alcoholic.
Yeah,
because it was like that's how you kept it safe.
Am I wrong about this? But isn't IPA, India Pale Ale, it didn't mean to be as hoppy, but they had to keep it lasting for like it on the ship. So they had to add more hops to it to make it last. That's why it's called India Pale Ale.
I don't know anything.
I went on a deep dive about
it. I don't like
forever.
IPAs.
I love IPAs.
I like IPAs.
I think a lot of these IPAs. Beers that were created, like IPAs, sours, they were created out of necessity.
Yeah,
because it makes it last, right? It's kind of the same with, like, anything fermented, I feel like, was originally just so it's like, so this stays safe.
But rum is because of the spices and the teas.
Yeah.
But
we're going to have, like, someone in the comments is going to be like, alcohol expert here.
Yeah, alcohol expert.
And it's just because they're drunk.
alcohol
expert here. So
I'm sipping
basically
on some Captain Morgan spiced rum right now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now,
Captain Morgan.
I Captain and Coke. It happened in college, and I can never go back to it ever again. It was like my thing.
It was never a rum. Like I like rum, but it was never like my thing.
I don't know why. It was that and Bacardi. I don't know why.
Ooh, Bacardi 151.
My mom growing up when I was younger, my mom would, she would do Diet Coke, because we only like had Diet Coke in the house. We only drink Diet Coke. She'd do Diet Coke and rum, and she called it a skinny pirate.
That's good.
When I was a kid, I like went into like, I saw like a Diet Coke and I was like, ooh, Diet Coke, I'm gonna have a sip. Like I knew it was my mom's and I tasted it and I was like, oh, that tastes disgusting.
That's probably rough.
Come to find out later, it was.
Let me say though, I will
pirate.
As I said, I can't do rum and Coke again. I randomly did one. Like I had a rum and Coke 2 years ago and I was like, this is delicious.
Yeah.
It's kind of delicious. It's very sweet.
Only with spice. I can only do a rum and Coke with spice rum, though. White rum and Coke is like... Oh.
Same.
I wouldn't know. I don't do them that... I haven't had that much.
Bro's not a real pirate.
Yeah,
I'm not a real pirate.
I guess you can't be part of the Flying Gang. Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, buddy.
That's a really cool name, the Flying Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, were there other names for, like...
Probably
big groups of pirates.
Yeah. There were other pirates. Like I said, there was a Flying Gang. There were the Barbary Corsairs. But I mean, there were a lot of like, it made sense to kind of roll with a crew. You know, you had like a group of like-minded individuals.
And they weren't all sailing together all the time. They were just like, they were just a unit. So it's like Blackbeard might be off on the other side of the world, but... Yeah.
And then there would be times when they would like coordinate. If there was like, you know, a treasure, like a Spanish treasure fleet, they might be like, hey, we got tell there's going to be there's like a big treasure galleon and there's two, you know, big warships guarding it. Let's get the gang together and we'll all go out and like try and make this happen.
Did these like famous ones like Blackbeard, did they only operate around the Caribbean or did they travel around the whole world?
They mostly operated in the Caribbean. I think sometimes they would go The pirates would also, they'd go up and down the coast of, like, America as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, North America, pillaging and plundering colonies.
This is kind of a crazy question, but, like, where do they get their ships?
Valid question.
You know what I mean? Like, they have all these ships. Is it just they started with one ship that they had, and then they kind of stole other ships, and it became part of their fleet?
Yeah, I think that was mostly it. It was like they, like, someone would have a ship, would buy a ship, whatever. They would be a merchant, turn pirate. However, they got their ship.
Or like
in the
a
first
naval
place.
Ship that then they had.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, you would like plunder other ships. If they had a nicer ship, you could take it for your own. Or you could just like use like the money that you got to like repair and upgrade your ship. But yeah, a lot of it was just taking other people's stuff.
Are you interested in knowing where like shipwrecks are to this day? Like, are there any famous shipwrecks that you're super interested in?
Not that I'm super interested. I know there are like very famous shipwrecks, and that you can like, I'm pretty sure that like you can do dives, and they
found
like old like Spanish treasure galleons and stuff.
Aren't they discovering new ones all the time?
Yeah.
Like there are a countless amount of shipwrecks.
Yep.
And pirates would like, they would plunder shipwrecks. That's like something like if a ship, like they had diving.
How?
So
did they do that?
Because without the modern gear.
Well, they had old diving gear like back in the day.
In the 1700s?
Yeah. So they had diving bells. And basically, to my knowledge, it was basically like a giant like metal thing, and you would drop it in the water and it would go down because it was really heavy and it would trap air inside of it. And so then you would go down essentially with this diving bell, and then you would take a breath and then swim around, and then you'd like go back up for air into like this diving bell that they'd lowered down.
It essentially like free dive with a little bit of oxygen down
there. That is terrifying.
First of all, the Bens, you know, they're like going so.
Yeah, but they're pirates. They're just built different.
What the hell?
Like, they can just handle that.
Like when you free dive and then you go up that quickly, I guess they weren't, they obviously weren't down there that long. If you're down there,
I think I think also
it's crazy.
They're not going down massive depths. It has to be that
it has
they
to
could
be like
probably
30
see
or maybe 40 feet max.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, around the Caribbean islands like and it's, stuff like, and in the Spanish Main, there was a lot of like, you know, shallow shipwrecks. And that's a reason also that there were shipwrecks. Like you would go into shallow waters and there might be jagged rocks that like you didn't see or whatever, or going over another shipwreck. Like, that was one thing in the show, in Black Sails that they depict is the British actually scuttled a bunch of ships in, like, the harbor of Nassau the pirates could sail through.
Oh.
So when they went to sail their ships, they just hit these other ships under.
Wow.
Pretty genius. I mean, that's what they say is the Bermuda Triangle. Not shipwrecks, but it's actually... They're like, oh, spooky Bermuda Triangle. All these ships always go down, but it's actually like a formation of volcanoes or crazy reefs in the center of it. And it's like a almost like a, what is that called? A whirlpool situation. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's haunted or spooky. It's just what's underneath. And then ships always wreck
just
there.
The ocean. Yeah.
Do you, I remember reading once that they were like, we think Blackbeard's treasure is buried like in South Carolina. And I was like, that's crazy. Because like, as you said, they go up and down the coast. But it's like, I wonder how much buried treasure there is just out there on land. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so there was only one actual recorded historical instance of a pirate burying treasure. And it was William Kidd. And he essentially used it as a bargaining chip. So he was a privateer technically, and he sailed around the coast of Africa, and he was supposed to be like not plundering British ships, but so much of the commerce in that area was like British ships and the British like East India Company. And so his crew got restless. They're like, we see all these stacked British ships and like, we want to like take them as a prize. And William Kidd had basically done kind of a shady deal with some magistrates and members of like government in England to be like, hey, we'll like kind of give you a secret letter of marque almost. And like, you just pay us like kind of under the table, like some money that like from the ships that you plunder. But then like William Kidd's crew was threatening to mutiny him. And so he's like, all right, well, I just got to attack an English ship now. And so he got all this treasure, But then the English were after him. And so he buried his treasure to basically when he
insurance.
Yeah. To be like, well, if you kill me, like, you won't know where my treasure is.
So smart.
And then they
killed him anyway.
Yeah. So now his treasure's just buried somewhere.
Could be. If he was being honest. Yeah. His treasure.
Right. That's why they killed him.
So there's likely, by that logic, why would most pirates bury their treasure? It's most likely the only treasure that's hidden out in the world is in shipwrecks.
Yeah. I think, like, realistically, pirates were, like, they were using the money that they were earning. And for, like, a lot of the, like, more successful pirates, like, either they were dying or, like, Henry Every, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
He just disappeared. After his, like, huge prize, he disappeared. And, like, we don't really know what happened to him. But it's actually a lot of the very common kind of pirate tropes come from Treasure Island and Robert Louis Stevenson. Mm.
Even the pirate voice,
yeah,
is not like a, that comes from the Treasure Island movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, pirates probably were like hanging out, just like talking like this.
Yeah.
I think, like, in Black Sails, it's probably like the way that they talk. Like, I think
just
they do it
like anyone else.
Like that a little, but nothing super crazy though.
Yeah, no, they don't talk like super piratey. More of just
they didn't
like
have a specific. There wasn't like a pirate accent, like yar.
Yeah,
it's just like they
a lot
all
of them were just like British people.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he just made up an entire language, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, he made up a language. Yeah, like, X marks the spot on a treasure map. That was, like, buried treasure or something.
Oh,
that, like,
the best thing ever as a kid.
Most, I feel like so many tropes do come from fiction.
Yeah, and it's funny because he was just, like, kind of fascinated with pirates. And I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but a lot of the kind of stuff that we have, like, the firsthand accounts of pirates comes from a book called The General History of Pirates, I think. Mm. But the party line on it is sort of like, it is embellished in that book as well. Like, there are things in
right.
it, it's like, okay, like, that might not have happened. Like,
right.
there was embellishment happening, but it is, like, kind of the most, like, cohesive, like, kind of representation of, like, firsthand accounts. That's where we get, like, Bartholomew Roberts' Pirate Code was you know, recorded there. I think just, like, in general, it's hard to know exactly what things were like. I think we have a pretty good picture, but when something in real life, because I truly think that pirates in real life were crazy. Like, so much of it is based in truth. And so it's hard, like, for us to be like, okay, how do we separate, like, the truth from the embellishment? Because I think that so much of the crazy stuff is also true.
Yeah.
Do you wish that you were a pirate?
No. God, no. It had to have sucked so bad.
I don't think there's
a pirate.
So you're just an admirer from afar. You just enjoy the history of it.
I would love to be able to, like, live on a pirate ship, like, with God mode turned on.
Yeah.
Where I'm, like, invincible, like, in a video game. Like, I can, like, I'm in creative mode. Like, I can just kind of get up and fly around. But, like, to see, like, an actual, like, naval battle or pirates boarding ship, that'd probably be
the coolest thing
ever.
I would never, yeah, I wouldn't, there's no time in history that I'd want to go actually, like, live in,
yeah.
right? No matter who you are in those eras. But it's like, if you could travel and have, like, a protective bubble around you and just be an observer of any era, it's, like, fun to, like, would that be the era that you pick for sure?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. If I could have a protective bubble, just observe an era of history, I would love to have seen the pirates.
What about you?
I don't know if I would pick that just, like, as a woman. But
well,
then,
no, I'm saying you're not, like, actually there or seen. If you have a protective bubble and you get to go and just observe any moment in
ancient
history.
Ancient Egypt.
Okay.
1,000%.
Which time in ancient Egypt? It was around for so long.
I know.
Isn't it crazy that Cleopatra's closer to our time than she was to ancient, like, the pyramids being built?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to be around the pyramid time.
Not the pyramid time?
I feel like pharaohs, Cleopatra, like, I don't know what era that is.
There's so many. It was, like,
I don't think
it's,
I
like,
want to be, like,
4,000 years.
Early, early pyramids
early.
Being built. That feels like a lot of...
You're thinking
There's
closer to
hard labor to watch.
You're thinking closer to Cleopatra time.
Yeah, more. I want to like be involved in the politics and the royalty and the traditions that they have and the, like, almost like the superstitious, like, where that all came about and like I'm really, really into that. I would be really into that. But again, I am really into pirate times because I'm into, like, sailing, and like my papa and my uncle both were sailors. My papa had like a pretty big sized ship sailboat that he had that my sisters used to go on all the time, and like I'm really into that era, but I feel like I wouldn't want to miss out on that era of Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
Man, I do think ancient history just sounds so cool. To see ancient Greece, ancient Persia.
Greece.
Just to see things like, to go back like really far, like I would love to see like Mesopotamia, Assyria, like there's just like old civilizations.
There was a museum in LA, I forget the museum, but they had a whole Mesopotamia exhibit.
That's
and it was epic. And H and I went and they uncovered stones with specific Mesopotamia, like
the cuneiform and everything.
Yes. That's and it was like they broke down what it was saying, and it was like such an epic exhibit.
Ooh, and then also to like see like Aztec, Incan, Mayan, like because just ones where it's like we can decipher pretty well what life was like, but to really go and like see it. And also I think like what I would love is any ancient history, and probably any time in history, is to go and just like chill on a random street and just see people like living a daily life.
Yeah,
because I think we have this we portray things as being so different, right? It's like, no, people were human, right?
Yeah.
To go back as far as you could, right? Because they say, I think it's like, I remember reading once, it's like, if you went back 50,000 years and took a baby from back then and brought them to the modern era and raised them, that they would be indistinguishable as far as personality. That might be off, but it's like, the human brain is... Mm-hmm. has been this way for a long time, right? It's not like 50,000 years ago we were different. It's like, no, that was, they were humans. So it's like to just see, and then to be able to understand the language.
Yeah.
If I'm like in this fictional thing that I'm doing, we're in a bubble that deciphers, that translates, that does everything. And to just like hang out and see like someone's daily life.
And they can't see you.
Yeah. And they can't see me, no. But I can interact with the drinks and food. I get to drink their alcohol
and your boots, and go in and be like, "Let me just."
No, I would kill to be able to be like, "What's their food like?" You know, like what is
would be
what would be what's the nicest dish from that era?
Yeah,
that I can have.
So interesting.
Like, what's it like?
How? Like, give me a side by side. Like, give me a McDouble, and then whatever they were eating, and like, who has it better?
And then you have the ability to give them a McDouble.
Yeah.
And watch them.
Oh my god! I have gotten a message from God.
Wow, this was incredible. Like, you knew so much. I mean, I didn't doubt you, but I learned so much.
This is awesome.
Thank you, Trevor, so much.
Thank you for having me. No, this was lovely. I love nerding out about pirates specifically, but about history in general. I'll come talk about anything, bro.
Yeah, you really are like well versed.
Come bring me on for the Greco-Persian Wars.
Fuck yeah! Oh, okay. Dude, I love that shit.
History part two. Let's
I love
do
that
it.
Shit.
Yeah,
that's the stuff I was learning about recently. Well, hell yeah! Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for giving us this gift of pirate knowledge.
Yeah.
For your birthday.
Time. It's so beautiful. I love sharing beautiful, enriching conversations with my friends.
Me too.
Me too.
Yar.
Arg.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.